morning to each and every one of you again. And good to see you here this morning in a warm day. It's a day that, as Charlie reminds us, is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And certainly we have much to be thankful for. The subject that we're going to be looking at this morning is the topic is the elders and qualifications. We're going to look at in the Word of God as to what the Scriptures says concerning elders and their qualifications of the Lord has established in the local assemblies, elders who seek to care for the flock and to seek to serve the Lord in that way. It's not an easy subject, and it's something that is an area that is very important in the local assembly. And I remember when I first heard of the elders as far as in the local assembly as they carry on the have the leadership and the spiritual concern for the flock. I remember the first time was at Berkshire when I first attended there. I think I've mentioned this before, and I couldn't understand how a local gathering could function without a one man who's in charge. And I've always been used to a one man type of ministry. If you had a question or that, you always went to him, and he supposedly had all the answers. And it was that type of thinking that I was brought up in, and though we gathered in a fundamental work, but yet that was their way of looking at the area of eldership and being an elder in a localist gathering. Then I realized that it can function very well and certainly very scriptural, as God has gifted men in the expounding, the teaching of the Word of God and the gift that God gives to men to serve in that way. If I point one finger at the audience, there's of course three others that are pointing back at myself, and we need to take heed to ourselves and our own lives as well. I'm going to begin with Titus chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few thoughts. We're going to be moving to several portions of Scripture, and Titus chapter 1, Paul says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." We have the word ordination here, ordaining elders. And Paul is writing to Titus, and we see here that he had left him in Crete to set in order the things that are wanting, the things that were in need in the local gathering there in Crete. And one of the things was to ordain elders in that city. The word ordain has the thought of finger pointing. And Paul says, as I appointed thee, an elder can be appointed by the local gathering, recognized in his service, in his gift, and so on, that he is ordained by the local gathering as an elder. And this is what Paul is saying, that Titus, that to ordain elders, to point out men that would serve as an elder in the local gathering. In other gatherings, there's what they call an ordination ceremony. I remember visiting a fellow who was a pastor in a church, and he had on his wall was a plaque that stated that he had been ordained by a group of men at such and such a time that he could now be a minister of the gospel. But he had to be ordained. And there are gatherings of people that will not allow a man to officiate in the Lord's Supper or preach from the platform unless they are ordained by a group of men, supposedly men who put together a test as to doctrinally where this man stands and to see if he is doctrinally fit in order to carry on in the work as a pastor. And that's how some organizations operate in that way. But Paul says that elders are ordained by the local gathering. They are pointed out. And just as in the assembly here, we have men that have been pointed out to serve in that way. And so they're recognized by the body as one who is an elder. There's also another way that the scripture speaks of in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Not only are men pointed out by the local gathering, they ought to be gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. It's by the Spirit of God, the spirit of unity together, and a recognition that the Spirit of God is using this brother in his gift that God has given to him, and spiritually he has a desire to see the local gathering grow in the things of the Lord and see the ministry go forth, that it's obvious that it's the working of the Spirit of God in his recognition as an overseer or as an elder. And so we see not only the appointing of the local gathering, but we see that the Spirit of God as well is gifted that one to carry on, whose heart's concern is for the Lord's people and for the work. The word overseer And the word bishop are synonymous. The word is episkopoi, which means bishop. And a bishop is an overseer, or one who supervises, one who watches over. The word oversight has the same thought of watching over and in having concern for the local gathering. And so there, the word overseer and the word bishop are synonymous. It tends to speak more in the area of the work of the elder, rather than we see in when the word elder is used, the word there is priskopos, which is refers more to the man and to the qualifications that God has given him. And of course, the word elder just means someone who is older, perhaps older in age or older in the Lord, who's matured in the spiritually in the things of the Lord, and who is to be an example to the flock. We see here in Acts 20 that as Paul is speaking to the elders there of Ephesus, that are to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And it's his church that he has purchased, and God is the one who sets forth the elders by the Spirit of God to minister in that way. Now, let's go back to Titus chapter 1 again. And I'm going to read some of the verses here, beginning at verse 6. We're going to continue on in this portion. If any be blameless, speaking of an elder here, the husband of one wife, and he's not saying the husband of one wife at a time, it is one wife. And the word one is the same word that is used in Genesis, that there or Deuteronomy 6, the Lord God is one Lord, and it's the same word that is used there. One simply means one. We see. Having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but of a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober. The word sober has the thought of not being flippant, but being careful and being concerned about the issues at hand. Just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath taught. And we see the qualifications here of a man who seeks to serve in the area as an elder. And we see that these are things that make up the qualifications, and we could spend time on each one of them, but they're very clear as we see as we read them and explain themselves. And so I'm going to move on to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at a gift here. It is also referred to as part of the the work of an elder as the opportunity arises in serving in the body of Christ. And these are the gifts that God has set in the church, in the local gathering. And we're going to look at verse 28. And God has set some in the church. There are some that he has set. God has set forth. And men in this assembly here, that we see various gifts that are exercised. Men who are good in administrating. Men are good teachers, pastoral work, and leadership in different ways. Men have different gifts, and we see that in the assembly here. And God has set some in the church. Not all have the one gift, but there are a variety of gifts in the body. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We see here the spiritual gifts that God has given to some. And of course, the apostles and the prophets were part of the early days of the church, as the apostles were men who God used in the early days. And the prophets, the message of the prophets, can be used as to foretell what's already been told. Prophets in the Old Testament told of things to come, but the word prophets can also be used in foretelling things that already have been told. The message of the prophets, and so on. But when we come to the governments, the word government has the thought of steering. A man who has the gift in the area of government has the capability of steering, and it also has a thought of piloting, of a pilot of a ship as he steers the ship out to sea. And following his path to the destination, but he's one who steers in guiding the assembly in the way that God would have, and that's the thought of government. One who has that capability in helping to steer and to direct the assembly in the way that it ought to go. There's many false teachers and teaching that is in the world today and seeking to creep in to the local gatherings. But we need men who are capable in steering the vessel in the right direction in the local body of believers. And that's a gift that is very important in the assembly, and men that are able to carry on in that way, and as a very much needed in the local assembly today. So we see that God has gifted men to serve as in this way, because he has set some. We see the Spirit of God has made you overseers. And we see that man appoints men. and to serve in that way, and they recognize in the gathering of believers. And we see that God has set forth this gift that is evident in men in the assembly to guide the ship in the right way, to pilot and to direct the local assembly in the way that God would have. At times we need warnings of things that are coming in, and we need to be warned, just as a pilot needs to be warned of the dangers ahead. So we need to be warned of the devices of Satan that seeks to snare and to creep in and to destroy the work of the Lord. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we see here more of the office of a bishop or an overseer. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, this is a true saying. It's true. It's a true statement. It's not something that Paul has made up, but it's a true saying. That if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's a good work. It's a good desire. And that's something that if a man desire that, then he will recognize that through the work, that it's a good work. And one who is involved in the local gathering and seeking to do the work of an elder, he desires a good work. It's a good work. A bishop then should be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, a patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall in condemnation of the devil. We see here the again the qualifications and the service of an overseer, and as I mentioned before, the word bishop and overseer are synonymous, and one who watches over, one who oversees and supervises is the thought here. And if one has that desire, the desire to do that, the good work, which is to do the work as an overseer, Paul says these are the qualifications. Not only is one appointed by the local gathering, but there needs to be the qualifications that are there. To say that you have all of the qualifications, I think, is something that ought to strive toward, that by the grace of God. And but are very, very serious, as we see here, the qualifications set forth in as an overseer. We ought to, by the grace of God, to seek to strive to be that one as an example to the flock. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a number of of portions of Scripture that recorded in Scripture, and we see the emphasis that the Word of God puts on the elders who serve in a local gathering. The elders which are, verse 1, which are among you, I exhort. And we see that the word elders is in plural. It's the plurality of elders. It's not just one. Peter says, I, which am also an elder, he says, who am also an elder. And Peter was an elder himself, and he says that the elders which are among you, that are among you, not in a special position, but they're just simply among the believers. And we see here that he writes to them in a plurality of elders that are among you. A witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter writes concerning the past. He was a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and he was there when the Lord Jesus was taken to be crucified. And the Lord Jesus told them of the sufferings that he would endure. And he witnessed all of that. And he witnessed the wounds in his hands when he arose from the dead and was in the upper room when the Lord Jesus was there with them. And Peter was there and witnessed the wounds in his hands and in his feet. He was a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And Peter also, of course, suffered himself as a martyr for the cause of Christ, didn't he? He was a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Partaker of the glory. The glory, the crown of glory that awaits the faithful servant of God. And in Peter's life, he was looking forward to that day when he'd be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. The glory of God and seeing his glory and being with him throughout all eternity. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And the chief shepherd shall appear. He shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Responsibility as an overseer is to feed the flock of God. It's important that we feed. You know, there's so many today that they don't get anything out of the Word of God because they're not fed. And perhaps because personally in their own lives, in their own quiet times and times in the Word of God, they're not really feeding. It's one thing to read the Scriptures, which is important, but it's another thing to feed, to actually receive the nourishment through meditations of the Word of God into our heart and souls. How often do I really feed on the Word of God? But when men have an opportunity to expound the Scriptures, we need to be sure that we're bringing good food. That we're bringing food that can help believers in their daily walk and in their growth in the Lord by giving good meat from the Word of God. Making sure that we give good meat. It's easy to come up and to speak and to give your opinions and your own interpretations of things. But when we really see that it's His Word and it's His interpretation, it's not what I think, but it's what the Word of God says, and it ought to make a difference in our life. How we need to feed the flock of God which is among you. A little story of an illustration of a farmer who would go out and feed his pigs, and he would go out and he would pour the food into the trough, or put it into the trough there for the pigs. And then he would take a stick and he would hit on the trough, and the pigs would hear the sound and they would come. They knew it was time to eat, that the farmer had the food for them. He thought he might trick them one day, and he went out and he took the stick and he beat the trough. But you know, there was only a few that came. It was only a few. They heard the sound that they came, but there was nothing there. And you know, we need to be sure that we're feeding good food. We have food from the Word of God as we seek to minister the Word of God. That they might, believers might grow in the things of the Lord and be drawn closer to Him. Now, we see that we have looked at some of the passages that has to do with the elders. The thought here we see in verse 3, either as being lords over God's heritage, lord over the word lord has to do with dominating, to dominate over God's heritage. We're part of God's heritage. We have a great heritage in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of His heritage. And we're not to dominate over His heritage because it's His. We're not to feel as though we're above. We're not to lord over. But we're amongst God's people. And by the grace of God, and it's only by His mercy, have we been saved. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the moment we're saved, we're into the body of Christ. We're baptized into His body. We're members of His body for all eternity. We're part of His heritage. What God has invested in His church. And as one who is serving, we ought not to lord over God's heritage. Satan wants to dominate. He wants to rule. But God wants men to realize that He's the one that's to rule. He's the one that we're to look to, and that we're part of His heritage. To be examples to the flock. to be in samples, that our lives might be an example to those of the Lord's people of the flock. And the chief shepherd shall appear. The thought for an elder, that he is to be a pastor, a shepherd. Ephesians, Paul says that there are those of the body of Christ that are pastors and teachers and so on. Pastor is just simply one who cares, one who shows concern for the flock, one who watches over, just like a shepherd watches over the sheep, and leads them to the place of feeding, and guides them to the place to drink, and as he leads the sheep. A shepherd simply watches over the sheep. He doesn't dominate, but he cares for the souls of the sheep. There are those of the sheep that may be hurting. There are those this past week have lost loved ones, and it's difficult to see them go. And so we need to show care and concern for them. A word of kindness, a word of encouragement, to help them along, to come alongside and to help them along through this time of difficulty. That's the thought of a shepherd. One who cares for the sheep. Because there's a chief shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sheep, the chief shepherd. He's the one. He's the one in the that's coming. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he's coming, our great shepherd. Hebrews tells us about the chief shepherd is coming. He's going to appear one day. He's the one that will receive the flock unto himself. He'll be the eternal shepherd, the chief one, and he's the one that we're to look to in all of the assembly. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one that we're responsible to. He's the one whom we are to live our life in the light of him and to seek to serve in the light of him who is the chief shepherd. Let's just go over to 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We were a sheep going astray, but we now return to the shepherd, the one who cares, one who watches over, and the bishop, he's the overseer of our souls. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that could carry this title. These titles. In the eternal sense of the word, forever, he's our shepherd, and he's the overseer, the watch, one who watches over our souls. He knows our souls, our feelings, our innermost being. He knows the thoughts of our heart. He knows the concerns. He knows of the struggles and the things that we go through. Because he's the overseer of our souls. And he's the great one who can provide all the answers. And provide all that we need. Because he's our great shepherd. The great bishop of our souls. And our time is just about gone. And I'm just going to touch on a portion, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. An exhortation to each one of us. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. They may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The word rule is the thought of to guide, to lead, to watch over and to guide. To watch for your souls. The bishop, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who oversees our souls. But there's an aspect that in the local gathering, we ought to watch for our souls. The souls of each one of us, we need to watch. And to lend that hand of encouragement and whatever it might be, to watch for your souls as they are to give an account. The elders are to give an account to God for their labor in God's field, in His vineyard. Each one of us, we're to give an account to God, especially those that God has set aside by the Spirit of God to carry out the work as a pastor, as a shepherd, or to give an account to God. A very solemn thought, isn't it? And we're to give an account to Him that they might do it with joy and not with grief. Grief because one has gone astray. One who has gone into other teaching, one who has left the fold, the flock, and has gone out into other teaching. Or perhaps someone that is disillusioned and one who brings in false teachings brings grief, can bring grief and division and strife and contention in the assembly. It can cause grief. But it's great to know that it's great when there's joy. You can give an account with joy. As the believers together seek to honor the Lord and seek to know Him, and that are together, they're of one mind in seeking to serve the Lord that He might be supreme. He's our great shepherd. He's the bishop of our souls. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one who deserves all glory and honor because He's the one who's the head of His own church. Father, we give You thanks. We give You thanks for Your word and help us, Father, to examine ourselves and to really see in our lives and in all that we do, that we might truly be in accordance to Your word. And Father, we know that blessing can be withdrawn or held back because of sin and things that aren't right. But we just pray that we might be sensitive and to be sure that we're right with You and that we're in line with Your word, and that we might be the servant that You would want us to be. We give You thanks for Your word, and bless, we do pray, in Christ's name. Amen.